I would invite you to stand for the reading of our gospel text today, which comes from John in the 10th chapter. At the time the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." May God add many blessings to the reading of this holy word. You may be seated. Well, 2 weeks ago, I stood at this pulpit to preach because I did some damage to the bottom of my feet when I was going on a walk around the lake, and I'm standing at this pulpit 2 weeks later because I now have a pinched sciatic nerve in my right leg. So I'm just, you know, the pain is working its way up, so I don't know if that's a good sign or not. I told the first service it might be a good sign. You might have a shorter sermon. Then again, you might not. So, but the pain's better. I'm going to focus on the psalm text today, Psalm 23. And that's one we don't generally spend a lot of time in a regular weekly worship service looking at. That's one you might be more apt to hear at a funeral or memorial service or a graveside service for someone. But I think there's a powerful message that we miss in that scripture when it's only in the context of the loss of a human life. I think there's a lot more there, and I'd like to think about that with you today. And one of the things that I want you to consider is that there are two words contained in Psalm 23 that are important. There is the word "though" and the word "through." And only one letter, an R, separates those two words. There's a story that goes back into the first century BC. It's a story that took place when much of the world was unexplored. Perhaps you've seen some of those old maps that they had way back then, when so much of the landmass of the world was unknown to them. And what they would do is they would be able to trace out on the map the known territory, the known geographic area, but then beyond that, to describe the unknown, they would place around depictions of large fire-breathing dragons or incredible monsters or giant fish that could swallow a whole ship up. And these caricatures were meant to show that this was an unknown and terrifying place. And so explorers and soldiers and the like, when they would come to the end of the road, to go further would be to risk your very life in a gruesome death at the hands of one of these horrible giant creatures. And so uncharted territories were frightening and fearsome places. And what the maps would often say is terrors lay ahead there. But other parts of the map would say, but there be treasures there as well. You almost think of a pirate's map. And so the lure for those treasures was great, despite the terrifying possible consequences of these monsters lurking in the unknown. Well, there's this one story from the first century BC that of a Roman soldier who was leading a battalion in a fight against an enemy. They were caught up in this battle, and they were pushing the enemy back further and further to the edge of the known territory. And they finally got to that point where they were in the unknown territory. Well, the battalion leader was terrified. He didn't want to push any further into the unknown territory. And yet the idea of backing up would mean that he was retreating, and thereby he would be labeling himself a coward and a failure. And so in order to cope with this circumstance, he sent a courier back to the Rome, to the headquarters, with an urgent request that read like this: "Please send new orders. We have marched off of the map." We're marching off of the map as people of faith every day, or at least we should be. Today, these days, I think we find ourselves in frightening and unknown territories, just like those explorers and those military commanders did centuries ago. Oh, our terrains may be different. You know, we've Googled and GPSed every square inch of this globe, and you can go on the computer and get a picture of it, wherever you want to get a picture of. But there's a lot of uncharted territory nonetheless. Things that are perhaps even more frightening. The technology map. How many of you can keep up with today's technology and its advances? I find it impossible. There's the political map. Our system of government seems to get more divisive every day. There's the economic map, as we've watched this horrible collapse over so much time. The environmental map, the demographic map, the racial map, the gender map. All of these things are uncharted territories for us. And I think we look at the world as people of faith, and we think, how can we possibly contend with all of that? How can we possibly understand or speak to these incredible issues that face our families, our communities, our nation, our globe? And I think there might be those out in the world who look in at the church and say they don't have a clue, they're out of touch with reality. Whatever is said there doesn't speak to my life. But then we have Psalm 23 that we read today, and I think it speaks to those uncharted territories in a powerful way. Because its words can help us navigate through uncharted realms. The power of Psalm 23 comes from its use of those two key words I lifted up earlier, though and through. Same word except for one letter, the letter R. But that one letter makes an incredible difference in terms of how we live our lives and move forward. David, King David, when he was just an innocent shepherd boy, before he was a king, knew the truth behind these words. And he knew that for him and for his nation, there were dangers lurking around every corner. There was no if about it, about the reality of life's obstacles, problems, and dangers. In Psalm 23, it candidly faces the inevitable. It says, it doesn't say, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, though I walk through it. It's inevitable. It happens. And it's not just about the end of our life. It's something that can happen to us at any point in our life. We can walk through that valley. And so there's other powerful promise points in Psalm 23 about tables loaded with overflowing bounty, the cup flows over, the green pastures. Those are all wonderful, positive images. But sometimes we don't have that. We only have the valley that we walk through. Sometimes we're not lying in green pastures, but flailing instead on blue Mondays. Sometimes we're not resting by shores of still waters, but we're struggling just to find our way through the valley. Every one of us has a valley. Some of us have given, when we were given birth, we received a valley of poverty, abuse, or disability. Some people are born into relative privilege, and yet they immediately begin to dig out their own valley of the shadow through drugs or alcohol or violence or prejudice or ignorance. And the psalmist accurately describes this in Psalm 57 when he says, of persons such as that, they are ones who have digged a pit into the midst of whereof they are fallen themselves. We dig our own holes sometimes, our own graves. But in this text today, in Psalm 23, it says, but while we are walking, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God clearly does not intend for that to be a forever journey. It's a part of life. It's inevitable, but it's not forever. Valleys are not resting places. We don't stay there. God in this scripture is telling us they are simply passageways through which we move in our lives. And so we can walk through our problems. We can walk through our sorrows. We can walk through our pains. We can walk through the gravest mistakes that we can possibly imagine making. All of these things in that promise of Psalm 23, we are able to walk through. And that God journeys with us as we make that walk. Though and through differ only by one small letter, the letter R. I discovered this week, I don't know sign language, but American Sign Language, the letter R is when you take your index finger and cross it over your middle finger, something like that. And that's the letter R. And that's sign language is wonderful. It's helped a lot of hearing impaired persons be able to communicate more freely. But sign language such as that, and particularly crossing one's fingers like this, dates back much further than just American Sign Language, and it means more than just the letter R. When early Christians were being severely persecuted in Rome, they could be jailed or beaten or ostracized from society for practicing their Christian faith. And Roman officials and military would be quite cruel to them. And in the process of that, they began to devise covert ways of speaking to one another non-verbally. And so when you approach someone and they had their fingers crossed like that, that didn't mean they were putting them behind their back to keep a fib from you. They weren't hoping for good luck. This meant that they were a Christian. It was a simple way to show the sign of the cross to a brother or sister that they might meet on the street. And so it became kind of a covert symbol, a way of speaking without speaking, but speaking very loudly indeed of what their faith was. And that became an act of defiance, really, in the face of the Roman officials and the Roman military. And that is a powerful symbol for us today. I encourage the confirmants to think about this and to keep this symbol alive for themselves as they go through their life faith journey, that this is a sign of victory. It's a sign of the resurrected Christ in their life, and that's a powerful thing. It was Christians who first invented the crossed fingers. Didn't have anything to do with luck. And so we want to encourage you also to think about that symbol in your life and how, because of that symbol, because of what it means of the risen Christ alive in our lives, that we do have a God who walks through the valleys with us. That's what the crossed fingers of the letter R mean, and that's the difference in the though and the through. Yes, it's inevitable, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we do walk through. We do get through it with God's help. Though we may be walking in the darkness of the valley, we are never alone. God is with us, walking through that valley, with us as the one who suffered and died for our sake, the crucified one who rose. The power of that message is this, simply this. Because of this, we are loved and we're loved eternally. It's a forever love that will not let us go. And that's the power of Psalm 23. It's not about the end of life, but rather that we are delivered into life in God's name. Amen.